So we've been in this series over the past six Sundays and or five Sundays, and we're talking about biblical characteristics that make us merry. We want to be positive people. So basically what we've been doing is we've been looking at these characteristics and we've been saying, okay, these are characteristics of people that are merry or positive. And then we've been learning how to use those characteristics to go out and be bright, to shine bright in our everyday lives, to bring other people to the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done. So the theologian Karl Barth, he was a guest lecturer at the University of Chicago Divinity School. And at the end of this captivating lecture, the president of the seminary announced that Dr. Barth, he hadn't been feeling well, and instead of doing questions, they were doing Q&A usually after the lectures, he said, I'm going to ask one question on behalf of the whole class here. So he turned to Karl Barth, renowned theologians, and he said to him, of all the theological insight you have ever had, which do you consider the greatest of them all? So Karl Barth closed his eyes, and he thought for a minute. Then he opened his eyes and half smiled and looked up at the class and says, the greatest theological insight that I have ever had is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to suggest that there's a few things about Jesus' love that are so out of the ordinary, so radical, that our response should be, this makes me merry. When I hear about this love, I should say, this makes me merry. This makes me positive. And when we respond like that, the obvious outcome is going to be going out and shining bright for Jesus in this world. So what about Jesus' love makes us merry? The first is this. Jesus' love ignores rejection. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says this. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The true light that came to the world over 2,000 years ago was Jesus. Tonight, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was born in human flesh to be a light to the dark world. When we look around our community and we see houses with lights, maybe some of you drove around even tonight looking at the lights. We see Christmas trees. We light candles tonight. And this is all a reminder that Jesus is a light to the dark world. And because of that, we now have hope. But if you notice in this passage, it states this, his own did not receive him. His own rejected him. Jesus loved the world and came to the world to save the world, but unfortunately, many people rejected him. And guess what? Many people will continue to reject him. Now, Jesus faced rejection before he went to the cross. If you remember, Jesus' attitude could have been, you know what? These people aren't worth it. They're beating me. They're killing me. They're strapping me up and nailing me to a cross. These people aren't worth it. But Jesus knew that even though many would reject him, this was what he needed to do to provide salvation for you and me. Well, then you have to ask the question, what did people reject about Jesus? Well, the truth is, they rejected the message of Jesus. What Jesus did, what he was coming for. And the truth is, Jesus came to save sinners. You see, the scriptures tell us this. We are all sinners that need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he was God. And the scriptures say that all who believe will have eternal life. You see, that's the message of Jesus, and that's what people reject. They say, no, I don't need that salvation, or I could work for that salvation. See, Jesus did not allow the people that rejected him to discourage him from his ultimate mission of loving us and saving those that will accept him. Now, John goes on in this passage, and he says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. You know, if you've been here for a long time, you've probably heard me say this over 100 times. But the scriptures teach us this, that not everyone is a child of God. Everyone is a creation of God. But we become a child of God when we believe in Jesus. That's when we have the right to become in his family, to become children of him, to become adopted into his family. So what we have to realize here is Jesus extends that offer to each one of us. Jesus's love ignored the rejection of others, but still goes towards those who would accept him. Now I have a question for you. Has rejection in your life jaded you or made you a negative person? You know, I think many of us probably have faced rejection. Maybe in the family you were brought up in, maybe they kind of rejected you. Maybe a friend group, maybe people around you, maybe a spouse, maybe your own children have rejected you. The temptation for us is when we feel or are rejected is we want to reject. Or in other words, we don't want to show others love. But when we give up on showing love, it will be nearly impossible to ever be merry or positive. We won't be able to get there. Now, could you imagine the outcome if Jesus gave up on mankind because he was discouraged by rejection? His own did not receive him. Can you shine bright with the light of Jesus if you're negative, if you feel dejected and discouraged? Probably not. It will affect how you treat your family. It will affect how you treat your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, or anyone else. When you feel rejected and get discouraged and then act on that, you'll never really shine bright. So what do we do if we feel rejected? Well, based on John 1:12, we can be reminded, we are children of God. What should children of God be doing? Well, Peter actually answers that question and says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim his excellencies. In other words, shine bright, right? Shine with the light of Jesus. Shine the light he has brought us into, the love and light that is not extinguished by the rejection of other people. See, the world's going to try to bring you down and try to make you not shine and try to make you negative. But Jesus is saying, nope, you're one of my kids. You need to shine bright. The next thing about Jesus' love that makes us merry is this. Jesus' love benefits his enemies. Well, what does this mean? Well, sin actually sets us up as enemies of God. Now, think about this. When we directly sin against someone, there becomes a rift in the relationship, right? When someone sins against you, there's a kind of like a little rift in the relationship. When someone sins against you, it causes you to kind of think like, you know, what's this relationship all about? Like, what are they doing? Why have they done this to me? It really makes you start to evaluate. Is this person against me? Because what they did was so hurtful, I can't imagine that they love me if they're doing something like this. Do you realize this, though? No matter what the sin we commit is, it is always a sin against God. It is always a sin against God. Even if you think, oh, I just sinned against this person, it's always a sin against God. And because of that, we set ourselves up in opposition of God because we are essentially saying, God, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, the love that Jesus has actually benefits sinners or benefits his enemies. Here is where the love of Jesus is so profound. Jesus doesn't say this, stop sinning and I will love you. Jesus doesn't say, stop being my enemy and I will love you. Here's what Jesus says. He says, I love you even though you are my enemy. Even though you set yourself up against me and you're disobedient to me. In fact, I love you so much that I'm willing to lay my life down for you. Look at what Romans says. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Here's where the love of Jesus is really so profound, because basically what it's saying here is this. You know what? Somebody might die for a good person, but could you imagine someone laying down their life for people that actually continually have offended me? Now, knowing this should make you merry, okay? Knowing that God was willing to still love you, even in your sin, and still come to die for you. So how do we use that to shine bright? Well, let's look at what Jesus says. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, popular belief is this, and I don't know if this is popular belief for you, but for most people it is. You have an enemy, you don't really like them very much, right? Okay, hate your enemies, take revenge on them. Jesus challenges that belief and directs his followers to do something radical. Love them and pray for them. Could you imagine loving and praying for your enemies? Have you ever tried to pray for somebody that you didn't really feel that great about? Okay, I'm not going to say you don't like them, but have you ever tried to pray for somebody? Have you ever tried to pray a blessing? Please, Lord, bless. I don't know about that person. Have you ever done this? Okay, it's not easy, okay? But Jesus challenges the popular belief, because most people would say, no, that person has wronged you. Get rid of them, whatever it is. Like, they don't, stay away from them. But Jesus is saying, you know what? Do your best to love them and pray for them. But here's why. He says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, Jesus is not saying here loving our enemies and praying for them is what makes us children of God. He's saying loving and praying for your enemies shows others you are a child of God. You get that? Doing this shows others you are a child of God. Do you realize kids emulate their parents? If you're a parent, you know this, right? Remember the first time you saw like a trait that you don't really like in yourself, in your child, and you're like, oh, I don't really like that in me, and now my kid is doing it. And you didn't teach your kid to do those things, did you? They just watched, okay? They just saw that you were acting like that, and now they kind of followed suit. You see, because you're a child of God, you're called to emulate him. What does he do? For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, in this passage, you have to realize the sun rising and rain coming, rain's actually a positive, okay? And God has common grace, the theological term is here, common grace to say, you know what? I will do good for those that don't even love me. I will do good for those that reject me. Then Jesus reminds us, this is radical and sets us apart from the world, or in other words, will help us to actually shine bright. So then he goes on to say, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here's what Jesus is saying here. Anyone could love back, right? Anyone could say hello back. You know, anyone could greet someone back. Anyone could love back. I know this is easy because that's kind of how I am, okay? If somebody's loving and encouraging to me, I'm like, I love that person. They're so nice, right? But anybody who's like ornery and mean, I'm kind of like, whoa, stay away from them, right? That's kind of how we respond in the world. Anyone could love back. Anyone could say hello back. It costs us nothing. But Jesus says, you know what? The unbelievers even do that. It doesn't take much. And we know out in the world, there's nasty people where you're like, hello, and then they only say anything. You're like, what's up with them? Or you're just really kind to somebody and they're mean back. You're like, whoa, these people need some serious help. But our goal in the Christian life is to follow the example of the Father, which is what? Perfection. Now, let me just tell you this. You will never achieve perfection. Jesus is not suggesting that you will achieve perfection. What he's suggesting here is this. You will never achieve perfection, which means that you should always be reaching higher and trying to love better. Because some of you might sit here and say, I'm a relatively loving person. I don't really need to work on anything. Are you perfect? No. So that means you need to reach higher. So now at this point, you may be thinking, there are people in my life that I may not outwardly say are my enemies, but they're nasty to me. How can I love them? Maybe you're even thinking, those are the people I'm going to spend tomorrow with. Okay? Maybe you're saying, they're all coming to my house, and they're pretty nasty sometimes, right? Or you may even go to the extent of saying, they don't deserve my love. And you know what? You may be right. They may not deserve your love. And that really brings us to the final point about why Jesus' love should make us merry and why it's so radical and so profound. And that is this. Jesus' love for us is not based on what we do. If it was based on what we do, then none of us really deserve the kind of love that Jesus has for us. Okay, if it was based upon us, on merit, on works, none of us deserve the kind of love that Jesus extends. Generally speaking, people can earn our love, right? Based on what they do for us. And we can earn their love based upon things that we do for them. Let me ask you this. Why do you love your friends? Let's just take the family and put them in this bucket over here. Let's like work on the friends, right? Why do you love your friends? Okay. Maybe because, you know, it all started with something in common. Maybe you lived on the same street. Maybe you were in the same class. Something in common. Something about that person made you draw into a friendship. And then that friendship blossomed because that person did something kind for you. You did something kind for them. That person had your back. They were there for you at a dark time in your life. They celebrated with you when something great happened. And all of a sudden, you kind of worked your way into their heart, or they worked their way into your heart. Right? They kind of worked for it, right? They showed you who they were, and you loved them for it. Or you showed them who you are, and they loved you for it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the way most human relationships work. We can also see this is why relationships deteriorate. We do something that makes the love grow cold. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe you have somebody in your life that you're really not friends with anymore. What happened? Something might have happened that made you grow apart. You just kind of dislike each other. Maybe they really wronged you and hurt you. I'm sure everyone here has experienced some sort of broken relationship in some way. See, but the radical thing about Jesus' love, it's not based on what we do or have done. Listen to what it says in Titus. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Mercy is this: compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punishment. You see, God is perfect. Our sin is offense to him. Sin needs to be paid for. Because of God's mercy, Jesus was willing to pay for our sins. He took our punishment on the cross. We actually deserve to pay for our own sins, but Jesus' love is so profound that he said, I'll take it for you. I love you so much, even though you didn't listen to me, even though you were disobedient to me, I'll take that sin on myself. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve his love or work for his love, but he was willing to show his love, and those that would believe in him and believe in his love towards us, he welcomes into a relationship. He welcomes us into a relationship. That relationship means that we can live with him for eternity because our sins are forgiven and we're made righteous. So now you may be thinking, well, what about those who don't believe? Does God love them? Does God still love them? What happens to them? Well, I'm going to let Jesus answer that question in his own words. And this is what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So let's break it down. God loves the world. Do you know who the world is? It's everyone. Okay, God loves everyone. So that answers the question, does God love everyone? And it also shows us that the love of God is not based upon what we've done. Next, whoever believes has eternal life. This is everyone that believes in Jesus and his love enters into a relationship with him. But the next is the purpose of Jesus' coming. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, Jesus came to save the world from having to pay the penalty of our own sin. In other words, in Jesus' first coming, and this is why we celebrate Christmas, it was to bring us into a relationship with him and to bring peace between us and God. That's why the angel said in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth among those, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. The ones that please God are the ones that have faith in him. He gives us peace because he's pleased with us because of our faith. Look at what Hebrews says. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, the result of not believing in Jesus is not that he doesn't love the people. It's that you rejected that love. You see, the ball's in your court. Do you realize that? God loves all people. Do you accept his love? Will you allow him into your life? Will you allow him to forgive you? Will you allow him to actually pay the price for your sin? And will you trust him? Because peace will come upon you because he's pleased with the faith that you have. And the result is spending eternity with him. In John 3:18, it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So if the fact that Jesus' love ignores rejection, Jesus' love benefits his enemies, and Jesus' love is not based on what we do, makes you merry this Christmas, I sure hope it does, I want to ask you this. Well, why not shine bright for him? Why not shine bright for him? I mean, think about it. This time of year especially, it's such an amazing opportunity because people are kind of thinking. People are kind of wondering. They're looking around and seeing what's going on in the world, and they're looking for hope. Now you and I have an amazing opportunity to shine bright for Jesus. But your answer might be this. I don't really know how to shine bright for Jesus. I don't think I can. Well, let John help you understand how and why you actually can. This is our final passage that we'll go to. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If you are a believer, that means you have come to know the love of God. You understand it. You understand how radical and how profound that love actually is. But the Holy Spirit now abides in you, which is actually God's love in you to actually share with others. So now we have to realize this. The most loving thing that you can do this Christmas is share what God has done for all people. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 to his followers, "You are the light of the world." So go and shine bright for him.